So I just wanted to share with you a little bit of something Carol and I do often, is that we watch Netflix. We enjoy watching Netflix, and there's some things you get with Netflix that you don't get with if you don't have Netflix. That would be obvious, wouldn't it? One of the things that we get with Netflix is we can choose what to watch in the vast library of Netflix selections when we want to watch it. If it's a TV show, we can watch as many episodes as there are of it, one sitting if we want. We have all of those selections, all those options that we can do, and we do that sometimes. I prefer to think of it as watching TV as if I'm reading a novel instead of binge-watching, but you can think about it however you like. It's just there. You get to choose by yourself what you want. What we do not get with Netflix by doing that is the experience of at least the sense or feeling that there's a whole community of people watching the same show at the same time. When there was cable as the primary way of doing it, or even before that, as some of you will remember, a lot of people watched the same show at the same time, and the next day they would talk about what they saw. And the same with cable. And you had the sense of that as you were watching that. With Netflix, it's like you have a library and you just go to the library and pick the one you want and you watch that on your own. There's no sense of community. Now, and that's fine with me because there's other places where you can have community. But it became very interesting as I thought about this. Culturally, what it kind of underlines is this. We would find ourselves choosing sometimes, you know, fairly often, a show that has as its basic plot line an individual who was highly talented or gifted in something who needed a team around them for that gift to actually flourish. And that's what there was a purpose going on with that person, and the team around them helped that purpose to be reached. Various, you know, shows like Life and The Finder and White Collar, all these kinds of Glades, a lot of shows like that. You probably can think of some. There's somebody with some kind of extraordinary talent and the team around them, which is always with them, form a very effective community. So here we are, exercising our right to be individually on our own, choosing what we want, being drawn to shows about effective communities. Do you see the irony in this? And that's sort of the tension that we feel in our culture today. You want your own rights, but you want to do it with others. You want to make your own choice, and as long as there's a community around me, I feel good about that. And there's something that the Christian faith answers in that. That's another reason why we're drawn here together to this table, is that Jesus provides something in which both things are answered in a way that is unanswered anywhere else at all. And in fact, what we have is a need to belong. And I came across a description of that by a guy named Robert Freiling. You can Google him and look up his work, you know, later. But he says there's really three parts to our need to belong. And it's because we have a longing to be loved. We have a longing to be a part. And we have a longing to be with God. Longing to be a part of things, you know, a longing to be recognized for who we are as a part of things, a longing to be loved, and a longing to be with God. All of that kind of unpacks that need to belong. Now, there's certainly a lot more to it, but I want to describe those three in light of what Paul gave us today in the epistle. And I want you to feel free to watch Netflix as often as you want afterwards. Or whatever you watch, Hulu, whatever it might be. So, what we have in Philippians 2 is It's the great center of the Christian faith. And it's the description of Jesus emptying himself to become as one of us, where he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to, you know, to possess. But he let that go, if you will, still having it, but he let it go so that he could become as us. It's pivotal to everything we believe, everything we practice, that he did that. It's how we are restored to him, because he made that action. We can therefore be restored to him. In that restoration is where we come back into the community, back into how we feel that we belong. We know we belong because he first took that step. John describes it as saying, we love him because he first loved us. And that love is described in this action. And let me give you a little Greek too, because you came today and some others didn't, so I'm going to give that to you free of charge. The emptying, it says he emptied himself. That's the Greek word kenosis. Kenosis. And of course, we have another Greek word, because Paul wants us to know about this. The Greek word for knowledge or knowing is gnosis. We get our Gnostic or diagnostic, you know, for those of you in the medical profession, comes from that. So what I'm giving you today is gnosis about kenosis. Some of you are impressed with that, others not. That's okay. We'll just go from here. Yes, it is. Absolutely. So what is this gnosis about kenosis that we can begin to get? Well, Jesus, of course, is in a community. He doesn't turn his back on that community. That's the Trinity. But then what he does is he lets go of what that means for his current existence and becomes as one of us and walks among us. Or as Eugene Peterson says, moved into the neighborhood is how he describes it. What that opens up for us is for us to come back with God. So here we are being restored. What Adam lost in the Garden of Eden with the original sin, Christ, the new Adam, by emptying himself and being obedient even to death on a cross, now restores. He's the second Adam and restores all the things that God has in mind for us. That's why that's significant. That emptying went all the way to the cross and opened up the kingdom of heaven, the Garden of Eden, the new heaven and the new earth. That's all restored to us through Jesus. Now, there's so much in that that we could spend months on that. But we're not going to. I'm going to focus in on this one thing. Paul says, because of that, you know, you've had some fellowship. If there's any satisfaction you've had, any thing of the Spirit, all those things in the beginning of the section, he says, then have the same mind among you as was in Christ Jesus, which is already yours. Have the same mind among you which was in Christ Jesus, which is already yours. That is emptying himself and being obedient even to death on the cross so that we could then be restored to what God intends. That's the mind he wants us to have among ourselves. Now, that's a little challenging if you ask me. I'm still back at Netflix making my own choices the way that I want to do it. And yet if I have the mind of Christ, I start putting those kind of preferences aside for something else. And it's those three levels of belonging where we begin exercising that kind of mind. The longing to be accepted, to belong, you know, to be noticed, the longing to be loved and the longing to be with God. We have the mind of Christ in all of those. What I'm going to suggest to you is that it is not possible to fulfill the need to belong apart from the mind of Christ. I mean, we run towards it, we like it, we read things about it and all that, but it is impossible to actually fulfill that apart from the mind of Christ. What we tend to move into, apart from the mind of Christ, pursuing our need to belong, is feeling all right. To quote Joe Cocker. Feeling all right about ourselves, feeling all right about our life. If we have some pain, we get past the pain. Whatever it is, if there's some problem, we try to get a handle for the problem. All of that, which we should not be giving up, but all of that becomes sometimes our own way of trying to belong, fulfilling that need to belong. The mind of Christ, when we have that, when we engage with that, gives us something else where it is actually fulfilled, actually accomplished in our lives. See, if you have a problem now and you go along the lines of how do I get a handle so I can deal with this problem, you'll probably, you know, get past that. You'll probably work through that. But then there's going to be another problem, as you probably discovered. that'll just keep going. And so you get into the place of consuming what is needed to make my life better. And what Jesus wants us to do is to bear fruit, to be productive. The more we lean towards consuming to make our lives better, the less our capacity to produce will be present. There's always receiving. What we want to be doing is producing. It's the mind of Christ, which we already have, that puts us into the place of producing the fruit that Jesus created us to produce. Now keep in mind, if you have a problem, please fix it, get a handle. If there's pain, please take care of that. You can do that as well as get into the mind of Christ. It's just that not that kind of approach to life of being pain-free and getting what I'm entitled to get. That is not the fullness of the Christian life. The fullness of the Christian life is having the same mind of Christ among us as Jesus had, where he emptied himself and became as one of us and became obedient even to death upon the cross. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, we've got that need to belong, that need to be accepted, that need to be known for who we are, that first category of need. And we all need that. We all feel misunderstood from time to time. If you're a preacher, a little more often than not, but that's whatever. Or if you're a mom, a little more often than not, okay, everyone's included in that. If we have the mind of Christ, what we do is we see what's going on with others and how they fit in, how they belong. We put aside our preference for whatever the case may be so that we can at least see what's going on with the others around us. That's following the steps of Jesus. That means we look at people and we see them for who they are. And what that is, when I do that, I've emptied myself from my preference to have people see me for who I am. Now, I haven't been able to give that up completely, but if I follow Jesus, I spend time trying to do that. And then there is the need to be, you know, fully loved, that need to be a part, the need to know that what you've got is fits. Not just that you're noticed and known and understood, but that what you have actually fits somewhere. And the way that we do that is we begin to see each other's, what we've called in the past, base gifting. Because when we recognize that base gifting, we weave together and produce something that we're not able to produce individually. And there is a depth of not only acceptance but contribution when that goes on, when we have that mind that we don't have otherwise. So if you join a group and you say, I'm joining this group because I can actually provide this particular talent or this particular skill that I have, and you just go and you contribute it, and they use it or they don't, and that's okay with you, and you go home, that's still you with your preference. And there's a lot of cases where that's going to be helpful. Having the mind of Christ means that you go into that group and you see what's going on with everybody else. You begin to recognize what their base gifting is and how it weaves together, so that together you not only are reaching the goal of that group, but you're supporting each other. You want each member of that group to succeed in what they are as we reach the goal together. That's more the mind of Christ. Some people would call that a team, and the previous one, you make a contribution, take it or leave it, a group. You can call it what you want, but that's the idea. And then there's the need to be with God. That need to belong is the need to be with God, the longing to be with God. And that is something that we do here in worship. That's what draws us here. When there's difficulties in a church fellowship, sometimes what happens is we feel that the break can be between us and God. Where was God in that? Why wasn't... I thought I belonged to God. I thought God liked us. You know, whatever it may be, that can happen. And that can be very painful. That reflects our longing to be with God. So we come to the table every week, a symbol of being in God's family. We come together and sing to Him, praise Him, another symbol of being together with our Father, all of that. And we're going to unpack that a lot next week and go a lot more deeply than we will today with that particular idea of worship, pressing on for the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at that as a paradigm of worship. But it's all part of what we do to belong. Now, the key to this, if you will, the kind of hinge that opens the door for this kind of community, where we're holding each other up, putting aside our personal preferences so that we can see what's on with others and we can weave together, is this. It is having the mind of Christ together. The verse in here says, have this mind among you that was in Christ Jesus. Other people will translate it like this. For example, Gordon Fee, particular commentator that I like, translated it this way. In your relationships together, do like Jesus did. You'd be thinking about it the way Jesus did. Would you allow me to just try to communicate with you the what I've caught of some Southern culture? I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but it's not. I'm not making fun of it. There's something. I just remember one of my seminary professors saying, you know, in the South, at least they have a distinct second person plural. Y'all. Yeah. Right. So, another translation of this, all y'all be like Jesus when you're together. You see, it fits in every culture, this whole idea. But that's the idea. Now, so we do that, we get together, and what the scripture tells us is that we already have that mind. We already have from Jesus what it is to walk together in His mind. Well, where's that, you might say? How do you know it? How's that work? What do you do? I kind of see the, you know, supporting each other, making space for each other, putting my preferences aside for a little while so somebody else can be noticed, and how we weave together and see each other. So I can see that. But how do I know that I have the mind of Christ? You only know it together. You really don't know it individually. You really only know it together. So when there's a group functioning, moving ahead, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When we have come together and begun being like Jesus with each other, there is a mind of Christ that we have already received at work. It doesn't mean it never gets challenging. It doesn't mean we're never angry or confused or whatever it may be. That'll happen. But together, we're moving together. And you begin seeing Jesus in each other and more of Jesus through each other. That's how you know you've got the mind of Christ. So here's a way that it happens. And I mean, to be as transparent as I can with you, sometimes it's just plain irritating. It's just plain irritating, but it's the mind of Christ. Yeah. So it's at least all right with Bobby. So here's what I mean. When you hear from me often and repeatedly and on and week in, week and week and week after week and meetings and all kinds of things, what you'll usually hear is something apostolic. This is just the way I can't help myself. I think about it, but that's what comes through. Some of you whose base gifting is evangelistic, it's almost always you're going to say, okay, now how are we going to share this? How are we going to gather some people? We'll be talking about the color of the walls, and you'll be saying, okay, yeah, how are we going to gather some people? It's like that. You get the idea? Or some of you who are pastoral, you're saying, well, how are we going to make sure everyone can move along with this, no matter what the question is? All the time. For us to have the mind of Christ together, which we already have, and function in it, think along those lines, be that way, we begin opening up in some manner so that all of those giftings that Christ has given us start flowing through, start weaving together. And for us to organize ourselves that way and make steps for that to happen, for every voice to be heard, as our core values have really richly suggested goes on, is the way to go. That's an expression of the mind of Christ that we have together. And that's how we move ahead in that. So on All Saints Sunday, we're going to pick that up a little more, the base gifts, and then move ahead with that a couple of weeks, just so that we can get into the mind of Christ together. So that everyone who has this longing to be with each other and with God has the way of doing it, so that we begin growing and functioning and moving together in a way that all of us are in fact together and growing and able to move in the mind of Christ and be rich in it. That's what we're going to do. That's where we want to go. And that's what this is about. And that's one of the things that comes out of that very foundational action of Jesus, where He emptied Himself and became as one of us. I have a challenge for you today so that we can go ahead with this, and you may be able to see it more clearly if you take up this challenge. Let me mention this first. It is easy to think, you know, I just can't do that. I'm not able to do that. I haven't done it my whole Christian life. I can't do it now. I don't see myself doing it. And you'd be completely right, because we can only do it with Jesus, only by the grace of God, only by the power he puts within us. Only by what Jesus provides for us are we able to do all these things, or any one of them. We can only walk in the mind of Christ by his power. And we will never be able on our own power to do it. So here's my challenge. Is there something right now that you are holding on to that you don't want to give up so that you can move into the mind of Christ? Is there something you just you'd like to have an effective community, a fruitful group? Is there something you just don't want to give up for that to happen? Please don't say it out loud. That'll be fun. Just with God right now. And is there, you know, as you give that to him, as you release it, you let it go, you empty yourself of that preference? Is there another picture, feeling, idea that's taking its place? That's coming from the mind of Christ to you. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done, that you emptied yourself and became as one of us. We ask that you would move us further and further and deeper in the mind of Christ, and that we would be able together to move in the path that you have desired. And we ask this today for the glory of your name. Amen.